This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Escape Hour. I'm Tad, and with me in the studio today is Fiona and Stefan. How are you guys doing? Hello. Have you had a good week?
Great.
Did you miss me last week?
Oh, we did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I missed you guys too.
Because it was cold and we were thinking about you lying in the sun. No, we weren't thinking about you lying in the sun. We were blocking it out of our minds.
Well, I was thinking about you guys. I was lying in the sun, so.
We did have a few laughs last week.
Yeah.
We did a lot of improvising.
That's good.
We're good.
Keep showing your toes.
Yeah, it's good practice.
It was very.
I think it's a good way to avoid dementia. That's my new theory.
And it's also good for your new comedy
practicing before the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
That's right. We're going to have the Escape Hour comedy show.
Yes. Yeah.
And Tad, you've got a role.
Yeah. What's my role?
Well, we don't know yet, but you've got a role.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We're all going to we're going to do a sketch.
Okay.
And we'll invite our friends.
Let's start working on it.
Yeah, you're riveting. Absolutely. And we'll invite all of our former guests.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be really good, actually.
Yep.
I think we should talk to Sally Kapp and see if we can get one of those rooms at the town hall.
Well, I don't know if Sally Kapp has much influence over which rooms we can get, but I might know somebody at the comedy festival who might be able to help us out.
Maybe not just a room in the basement, you know, someplace, you know.
Well, we've got the top floor.
Yeah, exactly. So, been a bit of an eventful week in the news, hasn't it?
Yes.
A bit annoying, really, I have to say.
What annoyed you?
Mainly airlines, actually. I do like airlines because, I don't know, there's something special when you get on a plane and the door closes and nobody can bother you. But there was a specific situation in the United States where a United Airlines flight had an unaccompanied minor and they put him on the wrong flight. And instead of going to Sweden, he was on his way to Germany. And the kid's, you know, texting his mother while the plane's rolling, apparently, and she's horrified because her child's going to another country, and she's trying to get in touch with the airline, and they're not responding to her. I just think that's ridiculous.
It's just appalling.
It is, and I mean, you know, just coming back from an international trip myself, the amount of security checks you go through, the amount of times they want your ID, the amount of times they check your bags, how does that happen? I think it's an absolute joke. And I do understand mistakes happen, but when you've got these multiple levels of security checking that we all have to go through and have all had to accept, how does that happen?
Well, it's just quite frankly unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously many, many people make mistakes in that particular instance.
Absolutely.
It's just ridiculous.
And,
it took a few hours before because she kept tweeting and 3 or 4 hours later she finally got that answer.
Yeah.
Because she was on hold, I think, as you said. And
then she turned to social
Twitter.
Media. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember once I wanted some satisfaction from a certain Australian airline, and the only way really to get through to them was actually to tweet my complaint to them.
Did it work? So you got something out of it?
No, I didn't get anything out of it, but they did reply, and they just basically told me to suck eggs.
Oh.
But at least I know how to get
Maybe
through
Maybe you're not flying
now.
Them anymore.
I did ban Sometimes them for
choice.
A while.
Yeah. That's good.
It is a bit difficult to stop flying one of these Australian airlines because
there's not that many of them.
We don't have a lot of choice.
No, we don't. No, but I think it's just, you know, I think sometimes airlines forget that they're in the service industry and you know, the passenger is the paying customer. And at the end of the day, when you pay for something, you should get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And we don't always get that, unfortunately.
No, I know somebody who's going to Sydney and they decided to catch the train.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because they were like, well, you know, that it just avoids all the hassle. Yep. It'll be, and it, you know,
11 hours. 11 hours, though.
They're getting
Melbourne
asleep.
To Sydney.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but when you think about the time it takes for you to get to Melbourne Airport, you have to be there, what, an hour and a half or whatever before?
The stress.
It's not
11 hours.
No, it's not 11 hours, but no, sometimes true. For some people it's worth it.
If you're overnight, maybe, but the daytime, it's really a waste of.
And there was some other bad news with another person on a flight.
Yeah, and this is really. I don't know, it really pisses me off because it just shows such an insensitivity, I think, to somebody, you know, who has a disability. And it was a situation where a young girl, you know, depends on an electric wheelchair for her to get around, and that is her her legs, basically. And she was going onto a Jetstar flight, and basically they basically made her check in her wheelchair at the check-in point and put her in one of those narrow aisle wheelchairs, mm-hmm. and was dependent on someone else to push her around. Now, some people might think, what's the big deal with that? But when you are somebody with a disability and you are dependent on a wheelchair that's electric to get you around, and you take that away from that person, you're taking away that person's legs, basically. And that's what this young person said. And again, you know, it was a situation where, you know, according to what their procedures were, that's what the right thing to do was. And it was a flight from, I think, Sydney to Launceston. But the interesting thing was, on the return, it was no problem. She was allowed to go directly to the plane in her electric wheelchair. Obviously, to get on a narrow aisle aircraft, you have to get on a narrow wheelchair, which wasn't the issue. She did that, and you know, she wasn't traumatized. This poor person was traumatized, and I just think that's awful. And to show such an insensitivity for that, and even when her mother brought it to the attention of the airline, they really didn't seem to care. And I think that's disgusting.
It really is. I think that airlines are, just a note here from us at the Escape Hour, airlines, you're on notice. We're paying attention to you.
We're watching.
And you should be treating the people that are spending so much money on your airline with a little bit better respect.
But it's also just, I don't know, to me that's human decency. You know, I think she deserved better than that.
Well, there's procedure and then there's humanity, I guess. That's
in common sense. And you know, look at the situation. And whoever checked her in, if they had a question, they should have gone above and gotten an answer, you know, or something to help this person out. And I just think that's wrong.
And you can keep a pram to the gate as well. So
exactly.
So there's two standards, really.
I don't know. I just think people need to think, and just because something's a procedure or a policy doesn't mean, you know, you can't look at that and say, okay, we need to tweak that in this situation. You know, obviously safety is important, but there was not a safety issue there. So anyway, it's just my thing.
So does anyone have any good travel news that they'd like to share?
I don't think so. I think this
week... Well, how was your holiday, Ted?
It was very nice. Perfect weather. I went to Seminyak.
Nice.
I had a good time there. And, the weather was perfect.
Gorgeous. And it was lovely. You lay in front of the pool and you went out for nice meals.
Did that, yeah, of course. And it was just a nice, relaxing...
Did you dine anywhere new and delicious?
Not really. I mean, you just pick a restaurant and go. You know, the good thing about restaurants in Bali, a lot of the nice ones, they actually bring out chefs from Europe and Australia, and they'll have them there for a few months, and you know, it's quite nice. And this particular French restaurant I went to, they had a Michelin starred chef in the kitchen, and it was great. It was the best food, it was just a really lovely time. And it's one of the things I noticed about Bali this trip was that it seemed a lot cleaner. And the reason for that is they've done away with plastic bags, single-use plastic bags. And
that is a revolution.
It's incredible. And even like plastic straws, you didn't see a plastic straw anywhere.
They've only just brought that in. How would they have removed you've noticed a difference so
absolutely.
Quickly? Because it was only brought in, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we talked about it last week.
We did.
Oh, did you?
We just talked about it as it was a happening.
Yes,
scene.
It was happening.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's
what
was happening.
I actually noticed a difference, and nobody had them either. So it was quite interesting how, you know, we can't seem to get that happening here in Australia, but you know,
and
Bali
the dependence on plastic in places like Indonesia is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I've been to certain places where it seems like there's no education with what to do with plastic, where people were just putting things on the ground and it was just
washing away, yeah.
Because there was just no sort of education as to where this would go, and obviously not many recycling bins lying around.
No, that's right, yeah. But you did see a lot of recycling bins around in the resorts and things like that, so it was
definitely
nice to see
a push for
absolutely. I think it's a good thing, you know. So I was happy to see it.
We've got a message.
We've got a message.
We've got a message. Once you had to have some life experience to work for an airline. Not all cookie cutter low paid staff. I don't know. Does that cover some of the?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you wonder. Do they look at, you know, somebody having empathy as a characteristic or compassion, you know, which I think is important in a lot of roles. And, you know, you'd like to think that they would include that, but who knows?
Yeah, I think a lot of things moved to checklist and standardized procedures, and it kind of removes the element, the human element out of it. But I mean, it's been done for a purpose because for safety and all this thing. But sometimes you need to deviate.
Common sense needs to prevail in a lot of cases. Yes, I think
that's that's very true.
Well, look, I love flying. I love airlines. I love airports. I love anything to do with travel. But I have to say, I don't really like going to the air. I don't like the process that you have to go through. Even though I'm bursting with excitement because I know I'm going somewhere. Anywhere. Yeah. It's just like, great, I get so excited.
Yeah.
But it's just that sometimes by the time you get through the other end and you're at the guest lounge, you just feel like you need a drink because that was a pretty unpleasant experience.
Exactly.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour here with Tad, Stefan and myself, Fiona.
Fiona.
And we've had some other feedback and we really do appreciate your input, Brad. Brad has just let us know that he doesn't condone the treatment. Well, who would? But to be honest, he says, regardless of what happened in Sydney, anyone who knows Launceston, so-called international, knows that the ground crew there are usually only dealing with a maximum of 2 flights at a time. So in reality, given people with disabilities and or children and the elderly, the wheelchair would be on the tarmac before the rest of the passengers started to load. Brad, are you from Launceston or do you fly there often? Because I don't know, I've never even been to Launceston Airport, I have to say. But thank you for your input. Now, a little earlier, if you've just tuned in, we were having a chat about some unfortunate instances with an airline that was flying a disabled girl from Sydney to Launceston. And Brad gave us some feedback before, and he's come back with a little bit more, that because I asked Brad if he had lived in Launceston, because he seemed to have a very good knowledge of Launceston Airport.
Right.
And Brad has said that he lived in Launceston for around 7 months, and he recalls picking people up from the airport and reading the Launceston an international sign and laughing quietly to himself, maybe loudly to yourself. I watched while customs walk from gate to gate one to gate two with the sniffer dog, and then gate two to gate one again, with one plane unloading and the second about to do the same. But the airport was again deserted. Thank you, Brad. That's not really a great tourism sign for Launceston, but we know it's a lovely city aside from that.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.